Hey everybody! This week, we're rebroadcasting episode 90 with Hope Cooper Buckner. Hope's a great friend and colleague at Belmont who has a passion for mentoring. It's her last week at Belmont, so I wanted to wish her luck, and I'm so excited to see all the amazing stuff that she's going to do. So we hope you enjoy this episode, and we'll be back next week.
How do I sound?
Good.
Good.
Logan, how's the beach?
It is humid. We're literally on the beach, so it's kind of nice.
That's awesome. How long are y'all there for?
We're here till Saturday.
Okay.
So we're leaving Saturday morning and heading back to my parents' house in South Carolina. Going to stay the night there and then drive back to Nashville Sunday.
Cool.
Yeah.
So where are you right now?
I'm in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Oh, I've never been to Myrtle Beach.
It's Myrtle Beach.
I feel like that's like a big destination. Like lots of my friends have been there and I have not.
I mean, it's like Panama City. I mean, it's pretty, and I like it because it's on the Atlantic, so the waves are bigger. You have a much longer fetch than you do down in the Gulf of Mexico. Plus the water, oh my God, it's like 85 degrees. It's like perfect.
That must be nice.
Yeah, but the waves were huge today because it was windy. I went out and I kind of body surfed, and that was fun. Simon built sandcastles. So it was awesome. But we just came back from P.F. Chang's because, you know, if you're going to go to Myrtle Beach, you might as well got to go to P.F. Chang's.
Can't get that anywhere else.
That is hilarious.
Well, my mom had two gift cards. So I was like, okay, whatever. We can go to P.F. Chang's. And so
I hope it was everything you dreamed of and more.
I ate a lot. Right now I'm enjoying a nice bourbon and Coke and talking to you guys and enjoying my vacation, my very hard-earned vacation.
Yeah, for real. Good for you.
Thank you. Your vacation's next week, isn't it?
Week after.
Hallelujah.
I'm so happy.
Where are you going?
Just to Gatlinburg. Nowhere crazy.
I don't even know what that is, so that sounds really fun.
It's where Dollywood is.
Yeah, it's where Dollywood is. It's like in the mountains. It's like a resort town.
It's like a beach town without the beach.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, interesting.
It's fun. It's nothing too crazy. Yeah, lots of cabins and like chalets and that kind of stuff.
Nice.
Well, anyway.
That's really nice.
I did hit record, so.
I'm so glad we have all of this evaluation of Gatlinburg.
I think we just lost a lot of listeners.
I think it's great to have the banter because we have to put that, you know, for once, I'm not in Nashville, but our guest is in Nashville. So
that
is true. We just kind of switched.
Are you in my time zone? Yeah, you're in my time zone, Logan.
Yes.
Welcome.
I am on the literal East Coast. I can hear the coast.
Wait a second. Is it 9:30 where you guys are?
Yes, it is.
That is so late.
Yes, it is. Hear that, listeners. Hear what we do for you. I am up way past my bedtime for you.
That's way late. I'm impressed.
Thank you very much.
But it's so nice. Oh, sorry. I'm all excited. I'm at the beach.
So we've heard.
Logan doesn't care what time it is.
I don't care. It's nice. Anyway, today...
Yeah, well, welcome.
We have someone awesome on the show. Of course, everyone on the show is awesome, but this one I know quite well, and it's Hope. Hope Cooper Buckner. Buckner.
Buckner.
Buckner.
Buckner.
Buckner.
That's a new one. I love it.
Yes. Oh, I totally passed a Monogram shop on the way here, and I totally thought of you.
Oh my gosh, did you stop? Everything if it's not moving, it should be Monogrammed.
Is that anyway. That's like a thing over in your neck of the woods, isn't it? Like,
yeah, we like our monograms for sure.
Hope likes her monograms, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't really know what. I think it's a lot of it is pride in, you know, getting married and kind of I go by like a a double last name. It's not hyphenated, but I took my maiden name and made it my middle name, and I go by Cooper Buckner. And that was really important to me to make that choice, because I felt like I wasn't, like, you know, changing who I was and going from Cooper to Buckner, but I was kind of augmenting my self and kind of adding this new piece of what has become my life and my precious husband. So I think maybe that's why I like him so much, because I get to see the C and the B together. I don't know. That might just be how I explain it to myself, but, I am a monogram lover for sure.
Do you put the H in the middle and then the C and the B on the left and the right? Like, what is the organization there?
So the
curious question.
No, good question. The big letter in the middle is your last name. So my monogram is little H, big B, little C.
Interesting.
HBC.
Okay. Huh. Curious. I had one thing monogrammed in my life.
Okay.
And it is like a bath towel that my mother got monogrammed when I was very young. And I have distinct memories of it, like, hanging in the bathroom. And now for the life of me, I can't remember what letter's in the middle. It's got to be my first name, I would guess. I think it's the J in the middle. And I think, no, I think
it's maybe probably the V.
In order.
Thanks.
I don't know. My mother's listening right now, and she's probably going to run up to the bathroom as I'm talking about this, and she's going to check, and then I'm going to get a text from her, like, randomly in the future, and she's going to say, it's the J. Huh.
Hmm. Oh, that's hilarious.
I can't remember.
Well, Hope, why don't you introduce yourself?
Now that we know your name.
Tell us what
now
you
now that we know your name. Yeah, well, hi. As we said, my name is Hope Cooper Buckner. I'm super excited to be with you guys today and chat a little bit about all kinds of stuff. But professionally, I work at Belmont University in Nashville, Tennessee, as the Assistant Director of Communications, where we like to say we handle most things with words. So that generally means internal communications, external communications, publications, crisis work, and media relations. So we do a lot of writing. Our team writes a ton of content, produces a ton of content, manages relationships with a lot of stakeholders, works to manage Belmont's brand and be sure that we're having opportunities to be out in public, and then does a lot to ensure that our on-campus stakeholders are also informed, so faculty, staff, and students. I graduated in May with my Master's of Nonprofit Leadership from Belmont University. It's Master's of Education in Nonprofit Leadership. And through that program, had the opportunity to write a thesis, which I chose to study the value of collegiate-level mentorship experiences for women. And so I looked at mentoring on college campuses, mentoring among the collegiate female population, and did a qualitative study with women across the country and found some what I think are super exciting results that could have some serious impacts or serious impact on the women of our campuses. So now I'm kind of humbly seeking what that could look like for me. So are there opportunities to take this research and use it in powerful ways to impact our collegiate women? What does it look like for my day-to-day? What does it look like for my side hustle as a budding entrepreneur? And lots of other things. So those, I guess, are the main kind of passions of my heart would be storytelling, communications, higher ed, and primarily collegiate women and mentoring.
Wow, that's so many things. That's a lot of things.
It is.
You mentioned side hustling. I feel like this is something that gets talked about occasionally working in higher ed. What are you side hustling?
Yeah, great question. So right now I am, Nashville has a number of fantastic resources. And one of them is the Nashville Entrepreneur Center, which is also a nonprofit, an organization that really works to support entrepreneurs throughout our community. And there's a program there called Preflight that is an accelerator program for budding entrepreneurs or entrepreneurs in varying phases of the idea journey. And so right now I am going through pre-flight. It's a 14-week program to evaluate and eventually launch Mentor Her, which is a nonprofit organization that provides psychosocial mentoring opportunities for collegiate women on college campuses. And this was all born from my thesis work. So I did this study with women across the country, a qualitative study, seeking to understand what is the value of collegiate level mentoring experiences for women, mostly trying to fill this gap, right? The mentoring community does fantastic work across the country with elementary, middle, and high school students, but there are not a lot of programs that work with collegiate students and really none that really are filling that collegiate female niche. And so I sought to first figure out what is the value of collegiate level mentoring experiences and do those values mirror what we see being valuable for mentoring in general. And so what I found was that these collegiate mentoring experiences are incredibly valuable, primarily from a psychosocial standpoint. So our women come to college and they're eager to launch their careers, become professionals, but the psychosocial foundational piece is really important as they seek to become who it is that they're supposed to be, right? So a woman wants to go on and become a successful accountant, a teacher, a marketer, whatever it is she's studying, but it's challenging for her to be able to launch a successful internship and ultimately a career if she doesn't have the psychosocial development to raise her hand in English or to say what it is she thinks when she's called on by a professor. So the psychosocial development piece is really important, and there are not really tons of opportunities for very intentionally for the psychosocial development to occur. So Mentor Her will seek to fill that gap using mentoring as a vehicle.
Did you, when you were doing your research, did you find examples around the country of like a model that you'd like to use for this, or are you guys developing your own specific model?
Yeah, that's a great question. No. So there are mentoring programs, certainly on college campuses. There are campuses that have, for instance, like sophomore support programming particularly for sophomores, or there are programs that might seek to bring in students early on in their, and kind of see them from seniors in high school to freshmen and then allow them to kind of move on from there. There are programs born out of women's centers that ultimately seek to mentor in some ways a small population. There are programs that exist out of individual colleges. So colleges of science or sciences and mathematics, for instance, might have a STEM-based women's mentoring program, but there are really very few programs that seek to mentor large groups of students, and particularly from the psychosocial standpoint. So my framework, the framework that myself and my team are in the process of developing, will be really based around the psychosocial piece. So helping a woman understand and develop who she is, what's her mission statement, what does she believe in, is religion or spirituality an important piece of who she is? If so, then let's develop it. Does she know what her opinions are on political topics? Doesn't matter what that view is, but does she have one? It comes from an informed place. Is she competent in what her voice sounds like? Is she comfortable in relationships? Does she know how to speak up and say what it is she feels? Those kinds of things. So not so much focused on developing a resume or connecting women to powerful networks or helping them get their first internship, but really focusing on that psychosocial piece. And that's really what sets it apart. So certainly I haven't, been able to study every program that exists in the country, but I have not yet found one that we'll really be mimicking. We'll be kind of developing our own moving on.
So who's we? Who's your team? Where did you find folks to kind of partner with?
Yeah, so it's in development. There are a number of folks that I've connected with from a number of avenues. So my grad school program was a cohort-based program. And so there are a lot of women there that have been incredibly supportive, who come from a variety of nonprofit backgrounds, who are also passionate about women's development and want to see this through. My husband Clark and I had a really unique opportunity in the spring to travel to the National Mentor Conference, which was in Washington, D.C. and meet a lot of folks who from across the country who are providing fantastic mentoring and services to people across the country, particularly young children or school-based aged children. And so there are a couple folks there that I've gotten involved with that are interested in moving on. And then some of my own mentors have really jumped on board with this and are seeing it through. So there are a couple, and they're in varying levels of involvement, right? There are some that are in it with me, kind of in the trenches, that are really deep in what this looks like. And then there are others who are always available to bounce ideas off of. But there's a lot of us, I would say, from varying levels of involvement that are kind of moving through this new idea.
That's super exciting.
Thank you.
Good for you. This is like such a cool view on mentorship, because kind of like you mentioned, like I've had people in my life who have been there to look at my resume, look at my cover letter, help me practice for an interview, like help me get a job, like, you know, connect me with people, but nothing that, I don't want to say went deeper because that makes it sound like these people aren't important to me, but you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
right. Yeah.
Moving into that like other space of my life, kind of, I guess, a more holistic view of like who I am.
Right.
As a person.
That psychosocial piece.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Instead of just who I am professionally.
Yeah. One of the things that was really that I spent some time kind of exploring. So when I was an undergrad, I have a degree in PR, but I also have a degree in education. And I spend a lot of time in the education world talking about Maslow's hierarchy of needs and applying that particularly to elementary school aged children, and reminding educators and folks that are working with young children that you know, we can't expect our kindergartners to learn to read, write, add, and subtract if they slept under a bridge last night, they weren't fed dinner, they're cold, they're tired, they're hungry. Those basic foundational pieces have to be established before they can move on to higher levels of development. And I would think that the same thing is true of our collegiate women, and that this strategy of psychosocial development really, really fits Maslow's hierarchy as well by saying similar things, right? That by developing the psychosocial piece first, we're allowing our collegiate women to be more successful as professionals if they take time and are super intentional with mentors and with partners to help develop that piece first and then move on.
Yeah. Where are you, like, I mean, I know you're in the planning phase, but where are you going to find mentors? Like, how is this going to come together?
Yeah, so definitely in the development stages there, but I can tell you a little bit about what it is currently looking like. So my plan is to have a pilot process and to create an experience that essentially I call it Mentor Her in a Box. So it would be a program that colleges and universities could choose to take part in, have on their campuses, that could be facilitated by student support staff who are already on campus. And the programming, Mentor Her programming, would be customized specifically to their campus. So meaning if a campus is in a rural area and does not have access to large numbers of alumni who are local, then they might be pulling mentors from faculty, staff, administration, folks who are already on campus. For institutions in cities like Nashville, where community members are incredibly engaged with the institution, alumni are in large numbers local, then mentor recruitment could come from those areas. Programming will also be customized and based around the student profile. So if it's very common for events to happen on campus, there can be suggested events that could happen monthly, bi-weekly, whatever it is that makes the most sense for that campus. You know, if this were to happen at Belmont, we've got a convocation hour at 10 a.m. Monday, Wednesday, Friday that makes sense to program within that time. Other institutions have other systems in which it makes sense to program other times. So that's kind of where my mind is now, is to make this as easy of a rollout implementation period as possible for our higher education professionals, so that they are able essentially to open this box and facilitate Mentor Her and provide opportunities for their collegiate women as easily as possible. So that's kind of where that's at. But very much so based on the campus, the student profile, the culture of the institution, the community that they're based in, all those things.
So have you picked any schools where you'd like to pilot this? I mean, Belmont's an obvious choice, but.
Yeah, so that's my goal, is to, this has not been approved.
Obviously.
Not officially, but that's what I would love to do. I do think that Mentor Her makes a lot of sense for liberal arts institutions. I think it makes sense for institutions that aren't liberal arts as well, but I think piloting somewhere like Belmont and having an opportunity to do some extensive evaluation to then track progress in our women, track progress in our mentors, to be able to look back and see from a psychosocial standpoint what our women were reporting, how they were feeling at the beginning of the experience, what they were reporting, and how they were feeling in the end, at the end of the experience. One of the things that as I've been developing Mentor Her and diving a little bit more into research beyond mentoring that I've learned is that it's astonishing the numbers that we're seeing of collegiate freshmen and collegiate female freshmen specifically, the numbers of homesickness that they're reporting, the numbers of mental health challenges, the numbers of challenges to adjusting to life on their own. And I really think that psychosocial development from a mentoring perspective could have a significant impact on these students. So evaluation from a pilot phase is super important, right? So that we can show what it is we're doing and then take it to other institutions and grow the product from there.
So how far do you think you are away from that?
So ideally, I hope to launch probably next fall with a pilot. That is so scary to say out loud. it feels kind of like fire coming out of my mouth. but ideally that's where we are. I think that's, it's a fluid timeline. I think it will depend on how long the actual framework and programming takes to be developed, but ideally we'll take this next year to really kind of hone in on what it is, what's our logic model look like? What are our inputs? What are we hoping to see on the back end? What are some specific measurables that we're hoping to be able to track, and then create some programming around those measurables and then be able to roll out some form of a pilot next year. Again, don't know where, don't know who. I imagine it would probably be a small group, maybe 20, 25 women who are interested. I will tell you that the number of mentors who I already have signed up, I mean, we could mentor nearly a whole freshman class somewhere by just the number of women who are like, yes, Hope, I want to do this. Like, I've been looking for a way to plug back in. I have been a couple women really within the last few weeks, recently have been reflecting on my collegiate experience and I want to be able to be, to have an impact on another woman who might have been navigating similar challenges that I was. So that's been super encouraging to hear that from mentors. And then on the flip side, every time I speak to a collegiate woman about this opportunity, they're always like, that's so cool. How can I get plugged in? Where can I sign up? And then I have to say, well, we're not really a thing yet, but we're hoping.
Well, take your name.
That's right. That's right. So, so ideally we're probably looking at next year, but again, fluid timeline. We'll have to see what this next year looks like.
That's so
that's awesome.
Thank you.
How long has this been a work in progress for you since you started your thesis?
Yeah, well, that's an interesting question. So when I started the thesis process, I had some really fantastic professors and people who were in the kind of on the journey with me who made some really interesting comments about, a thesis is what you make of it, right? So for me, it ended up being publishing a 250 plus page document that I truly think is like the heartbeat of who I am and what it is I was created to do. And so you can look at it a couple different ways. You can look at it like that, or it can be an opportunity to research something that you're interested in. It can be a life project. It can be a pet project. It can be whatever it is that you want. And so I really tried to spend a lot of time thinking through like, gosh, what is it that I want to spend my life doing? And how can I spend some significant, hours researching this topic and creating something that will be worth the time that I've put into it. And so, right after I graduated from undergrad, my first job right out of school, I was a leadership consultant for my sorority internationally. So I traveled the United States and Canada for a year and spent a lot of time working with collegiate women and doing a lot of leadership development, women's empowerment, mostly just spending time with women and helping them try to navigate what their leadership journeys looked like from a sorority chapter standpoint. And one of the things that was super fascinating to me was how big their dreams were. I was very encouraged my entire time on the road that year about how these women would vision cast. I mean, their dreams were immense. They were, you know, they wanted to travel the world and do this and do that. They wanted to be veterinarians. They wanted to be doctors. They wanted to be politicians, the first woman president, whatever. And I was amazed by these dreams. And then I came home. I got a different job after that contract ended. It's a 1-year position. Came home and started working at a nonprofit. And when I would ask the same question of, tell me what you want to do with your life, to the young women I was working around, fellow young professionals, I was really fascinated by the way that answer changed and the things that they would say. They would say, oh, I don't know. I'm really young. I'm super new here. I don't have a lot of experience. Go ask someone else. I don't know. And it was amazing to me that just 1 year prior, these women who were then new graduates previously were seniors in college, and they were vision casting for days on anybody who would listen about what they wanted their life to be. And I kind of had this reflection then of like, gosh, this is it for me. Like, this is what I'm supposed to do, is figure out what is, stealing those dreams, taking those dreams, changing those dreams, because our world needs them. And that kind of launched this bigger journey of trying to figure out what is it that can keep those dreams intact and help women believe that they can achieve those things. And so I've always been a big proponent of mentoring. I've had a lot of women who really poured into me throughout my collegiate experience and beyond. And so then it just kind of, you know, went from there of me kind of researching a little and finding this gap of collegiate women's mentoring and realizing like, wait a second, maybe this is the answer to those dreams changing a little in such a short period of time.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. I've never heard anyone talk about their thesis with such passion. You're the first person. Really, like,
thank you.
I mean, I guess I'll edit that statement with such positive passion, because I've heard a lot of negative passion.
We've had lots of people on the show that have talked about their thesis and what they've done and what they're passionate about when it comes to this, and you definitely are up there with taking the cake.
Oh, thank you.
Well, when we were talking the other day, and you were telling me about this, I was just like, wow, this is just so awesome. We need to tell people about it. Because it's just, it's really amazing. And it's more than just a great idea. I think it's a need.
Yeah. Thank you. That means a lot to me. You know, sometimes it's hard when you're so close to something. No, I mean, it has been my heart and soul for, you know, I started my thesis last June. So it's been a year in the making, over a year, I guess now. And so you just spend so much time so close to it. I mean, I was like super emotional at my thesis defense, because it was like just the ending of this project that I really think absolutely changed my life. I mean, I have a lot that I owe Belmont for throughout the years. I mean, my undergrad education, meeting my spouse, really helping me figure out, you know, from an undergrad perspective, who I was and what I loved. But top of the list truly has been the opportunity to embark on a thesis journey like this one, because it has absolutely changed what I think I'm going to do for the rest of my life.
So we cut to like the really nice music, and then it becomes like a Belmont promo video, and Hope like goes through
from
like
here to right back here,
all the things that she owes to Belmont.
You know, when you talk about like someone, you know, feeling so much passion for this, I think, so I chose to do a qualitative study for a couple of reasons. And one of them was I really just felt like the opportunity to like dive into the stories was going to be a better way for my topic to really like address what it was I was trying to learn. And the stories that I heard from my interviews were unbelievable. I mean, everything from So the youngest being 4 years out of her collegiate experience to the most mature being 45 years out of her collegiate experience, all reflecting on what mentoring looked like while they were in school. And everything from a woman who grew up right outside of Detroit, a member of a family who had none of her family members had ever gone to college. She went to visit her high school guidance counselor one day her senior year. And when her guidance counselor asked her what she wanted to do with her life, she said, you know, I think I want to move to New York and work in a fancy restaurant as a waitress because I can make a lot of money. And her guidance counselor leaned in, reached across the table, grabbed her knee and said, you know, I hear what you're saying, but I really think you can do more. And so she got in the car with her. They drove across the state line and visited the first time she'd ever set foot on university. She ended up attending that university, being student body president, and now she's dean of students at a state university. To a woman who grew up in rural West Virginia, having never seen a woman be anything other than some type of matriarchal role until she went to college and happened upon an economics class that was taught by the chair of the economics department, who happened to be a woman. And it was the first time that she realized that she could be more than the limitations that she had put on herself. And so she had never seen a woman be a scientist. She'd never seen a woman be a business leader, an innovator, a speaker, a writer, an author, anything, any of those roles. And so all because a woman decided to hold her back after class and say, you know, I really see something in you and I really want us to talk about what your future looks like. And since then, she's gone on to work for the federal government. She's worked for the federal bank. It's just amazing the stories that women across the country have of what it meant when one other woman stopped what they were doing for 5 minutes and just said, hey, let's talk about what your future could look like. And I want to be a part of that. And so it's important work that can really change lives, you know?
Yeah.
I need to go and find people now and tell them that they're worth more than they think they are.
Yeah.
Empowered now, Hope.
I'm so glad to hear it.
It's 10 o'clock at night and I'm empowered. I don't know what to do.
That's awesome. I mean, it, I always say, like, I feel so passionate about it. It's like, my eyeballs are going to bleed. Like, it's just like pouring out of me. And there's not like there, it's like, golly, I just gotta get to it. But I have, you know, a day job too, so.
Oh, right. Which we didn't really get the chance to talk about.
it's you know, it's interesting too, I guess, but this may be a little more interesting. I don't know.
She puts up with me and other characters around campus. How's that?
Well, I was going to say, we've talked to, I don't know how many, but it's very few folks who work at their alma maters.
Oh, cool.
You know, I think it's an interesting advantage, I guess, especially if you're in the storytelling field, to be able to have that institutional knowledge when you walk in on your first day is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's such a blessing. It's such a blessing. I mean, I often say, like, I am so far past drinking the Kool-Aid that I'm bathing in it. I mean, like,
I said, what, you're breaking through the walls now, the brick walls.
Yeah, you know, there's really no box that I haven't checked as far as like student, alumna, married to an alumni, staff member, grad school. I mean, check all the boxes. You know, I think it does bring some unique challenges. But I also think it does allow me to really believe in what it is I'm telling. You know, I always used to say as a PR student, and I say this a lot to PR students now when I have a chance to talk to them, but that you should never, a couple things, but one is that I won't be able to sleep at night if I am representing a brand, an organization, a business, an entity that I don't wholeheartedly believe in and that I don't either buy myself or that I'm not a product of. And as I think it's really important as authentic, transparent, PR, ethical PR practitioners to truly actually believe and buy into what it is we're representing. I also think that for me, it's really important to be able to say that that for whatever organization that I represent, that I want to be a reflection of that organization's values. So for me, ultimate success in a PR role, ultimate success at Belmont would be for the state, for me to be able to confidently say, to know Hope Buckner is to know Belmont University, meaning that I am a representation of the values of the institution. So diversity, collaboration, integrity, the things that we stand for are the things that I stand for. And if at any point I'm ever asked to represent an organization where I'm not comfortable being a direct reflection of who they are, then that's when it's time to evaluate making a change. So for me, it's an honor to be able to never, ever doubt that, that to represent Belmont is 100% on point with who I want to be as a person, as a professional. So it's great.
I totally, that's like my thing too, is that's why I stay in higher education. Mm. I mean, to be able to sit and become the voice of an organization or an institution, like I can't be the voice of something that I don't support.
Exactly.
So I'm glad that you're,
it's important.
You're sharing that.
Well, I think that's all the time we have for this week's episode.
That's so sad.
I know. That went really fast.
Well, I had a lot to say. I always have a lot to say, I guess.
Well, listeners, please head down to highered.social and get links to the stuff we talked about today. And subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. And if you like the show, please consider giving us a review on Apple Podcasts, because that's a great way for folks to find us. Also, yes, please do. Also, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at HES Podcast. Send us a tweet. We love hearing from you, and we'd love to know if you want to be on the show. So thanks again, Hope, for joining us this week.
Yeah, thank you, guys. This is great.
Awesome.
Thank you, Hope.
And listeners, thanks for listening to Higher Ed Social.